Well, praise the Lord. Our God is good, and it is good to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, how he helps us. It's a wonderful thing to have the Lord here with us and upon our lives. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to direct us, to have his way, to work in our lives. Yes, we do need more of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for thy great mercy and great grace unto us, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for your precious promises. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we can stand on them. Oh, Lord, and oh, God, that you are faithful. Oh, Lord, we know that there is nothing too hard for you, Lord. And oh, God, we just pray that you would work in our lives. Oh, God, you know every test, every trial, every need, Lord. And I just pray, oh, God, that you'd reach down, oh, God, and move among your people, Lord. I pray that you'd give us a greater portion of faith, Lord, and expectancy, Lord, and greater desire, Lord. I pray that you would work in us, oh, Lord, oh, God, to mold us and to shape us, oh, God, according to thy will and according to thy ways, Lord. Oh, God, we need to hear tonight. Oh, Lord, the devil be bound. Oh, God, let your spirit have free course, God. Oh, Lord, let this be directed of you, Lord. We give it to you, Lord. You know every need, Lord. I pray that you'd help us as we walk this road of life. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, help us, oh, Lord, to overcome and to live for you, oh, God. Oh, Lord, to do your will, Lord. Oh, God, we need you, and we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. For the power of the blood, Lord, oh God, be here. Use this message, I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We often talk about the battle that is in our mind. And, you know, so much of it takes place right there. And we're going to just call this message here, Gird Up the Loins of Your Mind. And I'll say this scripture has been kind of on my mind for several weeks, actually. It just really stood out one day when I was reading in 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. And it seemed like the Lord put this together here this afternoon as I was studying. Praise the Lord. Gird up the loins of your mind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know as humans that we just have these tendencies sometimes and very often to sometimes harbor things that are negative and detrimental and cause us grief and worry and concerns and all of that. Stray thoughts sometimes that come to us and instead of letting them go, sometimes we build a whole case on them, it seems like. But the Lord has another way for us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And he has made it possible for us to overcome these things that try to hinder us. And thank the Lord for it. Oh, yes, we're all walking this road of life. And believe me, we all have tests, we all have trials, we all have circumstances that we need to overcome. But praise the Lord, through the blood of Jesus, oh, praise the Lord, through the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, oh, yes, his Spirit that works within us, we can overcome. Praise the Lord, we can live above the things that bug us and bring about carnality. And oh, yes, would strive to hinder us greatly if they could. But praise the Lord knows how to help us. Praise God. Let's turn here right now to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Praise the Lord. I want to go through some of this. The Lord Jesus gave this discourse here, and let's just see what we can glean from it. Praise the Lord. It starts in verse 1 by saying, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And, you know, obviously, boy, these these religious people, these scribes and these Pharisees were very much the skeptics. And they were the ones that obviously were analyzing everything that Jesus did. And they must have just, oh wow, followed him just to see what thing he was going to say next that they could disagree with. And obviously they had observed that when the disciples ate bread, obviously they didn't always wash their hands. So Jesus answered in verse 3 by saying, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." And of course, we have to differentiate between the traditions of men and the commandments of God. You know, what they are talking about was not a commandment of God. In fact, it sounds like a ritual that came from the Talmud. You know, and there's so many things that people embrace. You know, that old saying that cleanliness is next to godliness. Oh, some people think that's from the Bible. I'm sorry, it's not. It's from the Talmud. And here, the Pharisees, the scribes, brought this point out, trying to, you know, accuse as they could and find fault. But I love how Jesus answered it because, oh, there were weightier matters that they had completely avoided. And, you know, they had ways, they had loopholes, they had ways that they tried to get around things that were written in the law. And, of course, it was explicit in the law that, you know, they were to honor their father and their mother. And, yes, they were duty-bound to take care of them and you know, to supplement their needs as it was needed. But they had a loophole that, you know, they seemed to use to get around this that God had required. And, you know, instead of taking care of their parents, I suppose mostly as they got older, that they would donate their money to a cause, a charity of sort or something, and you know, say, well, this is a gift. I've given all my money to this cause, and therefore, you know, it's free. I don't have it to pay that which is needed on behalf of my parents. And so they used this loophole to try to avoid what had been commanded there in the law. And this is what Jesus brought out, because here they're picking on them because they noticed that the disciples don't wash their hands when they eat bread. And so, you know, a tradition of theirs, something that was in the Talmud, you know, Jesus had an excellent answer. He caught them in one of their own things where they took away from that which was written in the law. And so he goes on to say in verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And wow, I love how Jesus so saw through the heart and in all the hypocrisy and all the vain deceit and all their traditions and all their excuses. He cuts it right to the heart, doesn't he? Oh yes, he calls them hypocrites. And then he goes from, yes, a prophetic utterance where it had been declared how the people draw nigh unto the Lord with their mouths, and, you know, with pretense, they honor him with their lips. And, you know, people could say anything. You know, we talk about politicians sometimes, and we realize, you know, sometimes politicians, from as they go from place to place, will have a little different story and a little different aspect, and, you know, they might even say things that are contrary at certain times, trying to please whoever their audience is. But, you know, there were a lot of people that, you know, would put on a show in the spiritual sense and make a pretense that, you know, they were pious, that they were holy, that they were disciples of God. But, you know, it was just words. It was just a show. It was just a pretense. Jesus saw right through it because their heart was far from God. Oh, they were saying things that sounded pretty, that sounded impressing, but oh my, their heart wasn't with what they were saying by any means. And so he said, but in vain they do worship me. Oh, it's all vanity. It's all for a show. It's all for a pretense. It's hypocrisy. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Oh yes, even taking things out of the Talmud and other traditions and you know, considering that they are commandments. Commandments of men is what they were. Traditions of men, but not laws of God. And yet they were just tripping up the people and, you know, trying to pretend that what they, you know, were teaching as a doctrine was part of the law. Oh my, what a show. I think there's a lot of confusion in the world today. I think there's a lot of that still going on. It does seem like people haven't really changed very much. This world that we live in, oh my, it just seems like people don't know what sin is. And it just seems like so many things that are uttered, even from pulpits, are just part of people's philosophies and ways of thinking, you know, just sometimes to make a pretty speech. But God sees through all of that. Oh yes, we live in such a time where they honestly call evil good and good evil. Oh yes, and you know, God sees through it. He knows what is genuine and what is false. He sees through the darkness and light. Oh, those things that they, you know, I put for sweet, which are really bitter, are bitter for sweet. Oh my, all the mess that people profess these days and all the things that they esteem. We have seen it on so many fronts. All these last years have brought out so many of these things that they're declaring and going along with when they are utterly disgusting, abominable in the sight of God. Oh yes, I've said this before, but I think, oh my, if time goes by, if we have another 10 years, Lord knows, time is short. It's going. But I really think that, oh, the way it's going right now, unless God begins to work in a mighty way and people repent and turn to Him, I do suspect that in 10 years that very easily gay marriages could be pretty much encouraged and respected by almost anybody, including the churches. It's already going that way. You know, but this is just a little bit of what we're seeing in this world today. People that worship God in vain because their heart's not in it. Oh, and they have not respect unto the Word of God. They teach what they want to teach out of their own hearts, out of their own books, out of their own philosophies. But God sees through it, and God knows, oh yes, the intentions of the heart. Amen. And it goes on to say here in Matthew 15, verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. He's going to elaborate on this point a bit more. He said in verse 11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Well, Jesus had uttered a truth. You know, they had their dietary codes and they tried to follow them. And you know, they felt if they didn't follow them according to whatever they perceived it or however they perceived it, then, you know, oh my, trouble, trouble, trouble. But Jesus is making a point here, not that which goeth into the mouth is what defiles a man. Brings forth shame and depredation. It's what cometh out of the mouth. All those things that come out of the mouth, that's what defiles a man. And yes, the disciples came to him and said, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Oh my. Well, it was the truth. And they didn't like it. Oh yes, he stepped on their toes, didn't he? But you know that truth will do that. Oh yes, when people aren't living up to it, oh my, it's going to offend. And he went on to say, verse 13, "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Oh, praise the Lord. We've got to be founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. Our roots got to go down into the truth that's been established. The glorious gospel. If it, you know, we try to come up another way, we're nothing but a thief and a robber. And oh yes, if they have not been planted by our Heavenly Father, then oh yes, they're going to be rooted up. Oh yes, because all our roots have to go down deep into the rock. That which has been established, the precepts and all the doctrine that has been established in the Word of Life. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in verse 14, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Oh my, yes. Isn't that something? Yes, the things that people depend upon. I think it's so sad sometimes. You know, I talk to people at times and offer them perhaps a track or even to pray for them or something. And sometimes, you know, they come up with a response like, "Oh, no, I'm fine." I know one lady told me I offered to pray for her. And she said, "Oh, no, I'm fine. My sister prays for me." And so often, "Oh, no, I go to a church. I'm fine." But are they? Oh, yes, because if that one who's leading them is blind spiritually, then they both are going to fall into the ditch. And then it goes on to say, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable." Obviously, this seemed, oh my, just even amazing to them. And Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught?" He's talking about the physical transformation here when we, you know, we eat food and it's digested and then we have to eliminate that which our body cannot assimilate. Praise the Lord. So he's talking about that. And then he goes on to expound here on the spiritual side here. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Oh, the real problem is the thing of the heart. And here, when we talk about heart, I know the heart is that organ that causes the blood to pump through our body. But this is, I believe in this case, when he's speaking of the heart, he's speaking of the seat of one's intellect or emotions. It's the vital center and source of one's being, emotions and sensibilities, as the dictionary brings out. Another thought is it's the repository for one's deepest and sincerest feelings and beliefs. You know, the emotions, you know, things come to mind and they kind of have to be either, you know, embraced are filtered out. There's a process that goes on. But you know, the things that are embraced go down into the heart, so to speak, and become a part of our thinking, of our philosophies, of our ways of doing things. And it's those things that are deep in the heart that come out of the mouth. And really, you know, oh my, it's those things that expose who we really are. And this is what Jesus is saying here. The real problem of things that proceed out of the mouth, they come forth from the heart. And they defile the man. For he explains in verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Oh, the list is even longer if you wanted to include all the things that are evil that come out of the heart. But oh yes, he's explaining, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Oh yes, there was always something deeper than people would often perceive. And oh my, again, we talk about the battle that's in our mind. Oh yes, I mean, you could have just the most remote, strange thought. Or you can maybe even sometimes think, where did that come from? But praise the Lord, you know, there are a lot of things that we just want to let go. Oh my, get behind me, Satan. You know, we don't want that to register deep down inside our being. And praise the Lord, God's given us that ability. But there are so many things, oh yes, that come to try to hinder us. You know, fears and doubts, anxieties, oh yes, and ill feelings and resentments, misunderstandings, things that get harbored deep down in the heart. Sometimes it's bitterness and envy and strife and all these negative things. And oh boy, sometimes, you know, our mind is just like a record player and it just wants to bring about all these confusing matters again and again and again and again, going nowhere. Oh, and for no good purpose at all. Oh my. But praise the Lord made a way that we can overcome. Praise the Lord. And we know, oh yes, that we have to give these things over to the Lord. We have to let them go, these things that come to blast us, to confuse us, to defile us, to hinder us. Oh yes, to send us to hell. Oh my, God help us. Oh, we know, as it declares in Jeremiah, that 17th chapter, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Oh, yes, it takes the Lord to cipher through our thoughts and our thinking. Oh, yes. It says in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Oh yes, the Lord, God Almighty, perceives the thoughts. He knows the hearts. There is no hiding from God. Oh yes, and he's there to search the heart, to try the reins, the emotions. Oh yes, the responses. Oh yes, the feelings and the things that, oh yes, are inside each and every one of us. And yes, to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Oh my, how we want the Lord to examine us, to search our heart and see if there be any wicked way in us and to lead us in the way everlasting. Oh, praise the Lord. We need to, yes, let the Lord put his searchlight on our heart. And oh, yes, make sure that, oh, there is nothing that would hinder us in such a way. Oh, yes, and that is another reason why we need to be guarded. What we look at, what we think of, what we read, what we watch, all of these things matter because, you know, we put things in, we don't know how we are going to have to deal with it at a later moment. You know, if you watch a scary movie, you don't know possibly how it might rise up and hinder you in the distant future or near future. You know, you just don't know. There are things that we need to avoid because, you know, it's not going to lead us to think properly. It could cause great trouble and confusion in the future. I know how David in the Psalms, he wrote that he would set no wicked thing before his eyes. And I think there's so much wisdom in that. People often are not guarded like they need to be. And you know, things can creep in. Sometimes you don't mean to see something, but you do, and it might hinder you forever. I can remember just as a little girl, we were traveling one time, and it was late at night, and you know, they had those outdoor movie theaters, and we just happened to be going past it, and you know, somehow my eye caught a glimpse of something that was going on the screen, and I can remember how that hindered me. Just, you know, that glimpse, and I didn't want to see it, you know, I wasn't, you know, it was maybe almost, you know, just it just happened that I, you know, we were passing by. But how much we do need to be careful what we regard, what we look at, what we read, you know, what we put in our mind, what we study. All of this can make a difference. Praise the Lord, because we want to be right with the Lord. We want to have thoughts that are proper. And I'll tell you, there is nothing better than to put the Word of God deep down in our heart. Oh, thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, praise the Lord, his laws, his concepts, all those things that are of such value. Oh, we want to put his laws, his ways, his Word deep down in our hearts. So yes, so that, oh, we can be guarded, so we can rightly discern too what is right and what is wrong. A big problem these days so often is that people don't know the Word of God. And that's one reason why people are sinning and thinking it's just fun or thinking it's normal and you know, excusing themselves because they don't know the Word of God. Oh, they've been lied to. They've been betrayed in so many ways. They've got blind leaders leading them, and they no longer know what the Word of God declares. But oh, how we need to have it deep down inside. Oh, yes, to lead us and to guide us so that we might know what is right and what is wrong. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm just thinking of some of the words here in the 19th Psalm. I'm just going to turn here for a moment here. It says in verse 7, Psalms 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And look at verse 11. It says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Oh, praise the Lord. If his precept, if his law, if his ways are deep in our heart, oh, yes, then we're warned. We can know what is right. We can know what is wrong. And oh, yes, the psalmist said, it's a psalm of David, in keeping of them there is great reward. Oh, he said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And oh, yes, here's a cry from the heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, yes, oh, what an utterance here. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, yes, it matters. Oh, yes, what we meditate upon. Oh, what we put down into our heart. And oh, yes, if all confusion and oh, and nasty things, negative things try to enter in, oh, yes, we need to let them go in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, because we want the words that come out of our mouth and the meditation of our heart to be acceptable in the sight of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what wonderful declarations are made there in that that 19th Psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn now to 1 Peter, the first chapter. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start here with verse 13 here. Peter is writing, and oh, what a chapter this is. What a book this is. But verse 13, 1 Peter, the first chapter. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a bit to consider right here, too. Yes, he starts by saying, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, the things that we think about, the things that we meditate upon here, you know, if an individual was, going to be out there in the field and doing some labor out there, you wouldn't want to trip. So back in that time, they would belt up their garments, which was longer, and belt it up somewhat so that, they could work a little more with ease, and they wouldn't have to struggle with, possibly tripping over it. But here, the consideration is to gird up the loins of your mind. And, I believe this is talking about making your mind ready and prepared to go forward, to do the will of God. The dictionary said, to summon up the inner resources in preparation for action. But, oh yes, getting the mind ready to do the things that it needs to do, that our physical being needs to do, those things, our goals and even things that we must do at times. But here, yes, we're told to gird up the loins of your mind and, continuing with the thought, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that is a need here. I don't think we have a whole lot of time to, be playful. I know there's times to relax and to have some happiness in a certain ways with other people and that sort of thing. But life is serious. And there's a problem. So many people, don't give heed to the things that are needful. They kind of, skip over it. Live today. Let's have fun and let's be jolly. Let's do the things that are comfortable to do. But here we are warned to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just going to scoot over to the fourth chapter of 1 Peter to read a verse here. Verse 13, where Peter is also writing, where he says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Oh, yes. See that moment when we stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Oh, the one who has regarded us, the one who made us. Oh, the one that we must give an account unto. Oh, yes, that would be our greatest desire, that when his glory is revealed, when we stand before him, oh, that we might be glad with exceeding joy. It's going to be one way or the other. We're either going to rejoice with great gladness. Oh, with gladness that we can't even imagine, I would think at this moment. Or otherwise, it's going to be the deepest despair and sorrow that we could ever, ever, ever think of, more than we could ever think of. Oh, because it's either going to be that we're blessed and that we have found acceptance in his sight, or otherwise we're going to be told to depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh my, oh yes, so what a moment that is. And that's what life is about. Life is about preparing for the day of God, for getting right now. We're going to live only once in this world. And, you know, we want to do the things that will be acceptable in the sight of God. And, you know, it's a serious thing, this walk with God. And we've got to consider it. We've got to think of it. So we want to gird up the loins of our mind. We want them to be on the things that will lead us to eternal life. And yes, to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, that day when, oh, he is revealed, and oh, every eye shall see him, and oh, they also which pierced him, and oh my, you know, they're all going to know at that moment, right, who he is, whether they had embraced his plan of salvation or if they had rejected it. So it goes on to say, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Oh yes, before we knew the Lord, we walked any old way, you know. We did the things that seemed natural to do. But when we come to the Lord, we let go of those old ways that are sinful. Oh yes, and those old tendencies, and the desire is to serve the Lord and to do the things that please him, and to let go of all these other things that were part of the old man that would lead us to hell. Oh, by the grace of God, we don't want to fashion ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance, when we walked in ignorance and we didn't know the Lord. Oh, and I always think when I read this scripture, you know, it uses the word fashioning, and you know, so many of the fashions of this world. In fact, I would say the majority of it is according to lust, particularly the women's clothing is just, you know, sometimes I know we complain because we can hardly find anything to buy. But I mean, it's because, you know, as a Christian, we can't put on some of these garments. You know, they don't fit right. They cling to the body. You know, they reveal things that are supposed to be private. And, you know, it's just not fitting for a Christian to dress like that. But praise the Lord. See, there was a time we all walked in ignorance and, you know, probably wore those tight clothes and mini skirts and all those other things that were proper. But praise God, the Lord has changed us and he's enlightened us in such a way so that we can see and, oh, you know, we can order our lives appropriately. Praise the Lord. And turning away from the things that would defile us. And, oh, yes, be abominable in the sight of God. Oh, praise the Lord. And allowing the Spirit of the living God to take our lives and transform us and make us what we ought to be in the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God. Oh, how he changes us. Oh, praise the Lord, and how he makes us new creatures in Christ. Goes on to say, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. In other words, that need to be set apart, to be separated from the world, to be dedicated to his purpose. Oh, yes. Oh, I maybe didn't read the 15th verse. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Oh yes, our whole life should be very different than the way it once was, because yes, we are now, as it is commanded, to be holy, for God is holy. Praise the Lord. And yes, you know, it's all walks of life. It's all parts of our you know, our living, our thinking, our mentality, our actions, you know, all manner of conversation. That word conversation actually signifies beyond just what we speak. It speaks about our conduct, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we dress, just our whole manner. But praise the Lord changes us, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." Goes on to say, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Oh yes, the carefulness that we need to give this life that we live, this seriousness, I believe where it says to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear, it's speaking of a serious attitude, a carefulness, an awe, a reverence for Almighty God. Because, we know that we're all going to stand before Him, and He's not going to say, "Oh, I liked your name, so, you get bonus points," or "I'm going to, let you go because, such and such was, a part of your life." But, here it says, without respect of persons. God isn't like man. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. And that's how He's going to judge. He knows what's inside. And He's going to judge it. And by the way, that which is on the inside comes out not only through of what we speak and how we do our actions. It all comes out. The way we dress, it comes out. Our mannerisms and all of that, it shows what's in the inside. So praise the Lord, we are to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. And I think that's with seriousness. Philippians 2 verse 12 talks about how we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Having that concern, we're going to stand before God. We're going to have to give an account, and besides, people are watching us. And they're watching Jesus to find faults. Well, they came up with things that weren't faults. And that's, in His case, because, Jesus was without blemish. He was without fault. But, they're watching. People are watching to see what we're made of. If we're really real, if we're really genuine, or are we hypocrites? So, what a need there is to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear, or with reverence and awe, just with a serious way of thinking. For as much as verse 18, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Praise the Lord. We want to be deep in the Lord. Oh yes, we want to have the right mindset. Oh yes, the right guard there to keep us, on the straight and narrow way. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that our faith and hope might be in God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, how we need Him. Praise the Lord. Yes, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received from tradition from your fathers. Oh, yes. But with something much more precious than that. Something more precious than anything of this world. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. The one that offered Himself as a sacrifice, as an atonement for sin. Oh, praise the Lord. The one that lived His life without blemish and without spot. Oh, praise the Lord, so that, oh yes, he could bring forth salvation. Oh, so that we could come to him. Oh yes, so that we could give our hearts to him. So we could be filled with the Holy Ghost and walk with him. Oh, praise the Lord, what a gift we've been given. What a privilege. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord, the one that, oh, bought us and made a way that we could be born into his kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord. We could be set free from the traditions of men, from the sins of this world, that we could live unto God and not unto ourselves. We're born again, not of corruptible seed. Oh, everything that's corruptible is going to perish. It's going to decay. It's going to rot. It's going to end. But instead, we're born again of incorruptible, oh, that which will last forever, praise the Lord, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is a word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Praise the Lord, something that's eternal, something that will endure forever. Oh, praise the Lord. No wonder we are to set our affections on things that are above and not on things of this world. Oh, it's all going to vanish away. It's all going to disappear. It's all going to be consumed. It's going to be burnt up. Even the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Oh, but the Lord has given us something so much better. Oh, yes. Something to live for, something to strive for, something to obtain. Praise the Lord, eternal life. Praise the Lord with the Lord Jesus forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to turn to Philippians right now, the fourth chapter, because I believe this chapter will also give us some wonderful insights on how to gird up the loins of our mind. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 1 here, Philippians, the fourth chapter, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Praise the Lord. Then he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Oh, praise the Lord. He's given us something wonderful to live for, a purpose in life. Oh, yeah, something, oh, that's beyond this world. We've got a hope that's beyond the things of this world. Oh, people set their affections on this and on that here in this world, goals to obtain this favor or that power or that gift or whatever all. But, oh, there's something so much beyond that, oh yes, that the Lord has offered us, all those things that are part of the inheritance that God has set aside for those that overcome, those that love him. And oh yes, we have a reason to rejoice in the Lord. And he says, always. And again I say, rejoice! Praise the Lord! Be glad! Lift up your hands and rejoice! Oh, praise the Lord! We have something to live for. And he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Oh, praise the Lord. Hey, moderation are things that are not excessive, but certainly nothing violent or that subject to that kind of extreme. But I believe here it's implying a gentleness and a fairness that the Lord puts in our heart. And you know, he says, let it be known unto all men. That should be part of our reputation as a Christian. The Lord is at hand. Oh, yes, that they could see Jesus in us. Oh, that they could just know that, you know, there's something in us that's different than the others in this world. And then verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And it says careful here. Now, this means anxious. Don't be all worried and concerned and anxious and, you know, just letting it just bother you so bad that you can't hardly think or you can't hardly do anything. And, you know, you're just turned over to that situation or that problem. Oh, my, no. He says, be careful for nothing. Oh, don't be so anxious and so concerned. Don't let it consume you. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, oh, those requests that we make known unto God, those cries from our heart. And he says, with thanksgiving, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord sees that gratefulness. Oh, yes. And oh, with our heart, you know, it pours out in thanksgiving unto God. And yes, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I think this is so beautiful. Oh, as we walk this road of life, hey, there are upsets, there are trials, there are burdens. Oh, there are so many things that, you know, could cause us great trouble. But oh yes, here we have the great and wonderful privilege to bring them to the throne room, to bring them before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to give them over to the Lord Jesus and let him take our burdens and let him take the needs that we have. Oh, he knows there are things that we need. Oh, and yes, we have burdens. We have cares for our loved ones and those that we meet and oh, things that don't go right. Sometimes, oh, it's sickness, it's health, it's, you know, it can be financial. So many things that, you know, we need to have resolved. We need help from. Oh, yes, but praise the Lord, we can bring them unto the throne room. Oh, yes, unto the King of Kings, unto the Lord. We can let our requests be known unto God. And he says, and the peace of God, verse 7, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love that, the peace of God. Oh, his wonderful peace that he gives us that passes all understanding. It's a peace that the world doesn't give, but a peace that comes from God. Because, oh, he has taken our hearts and he's made us right. And we can walk in peace and we can feel his peace. Oh, it is a peace that passes all understanding. It's something that we can't really explain. But, oh, praise the Lord. I know people can see it. Oh, praise the Lord. I just remember, yeah, just coming to mind at the moment, just we were in San Antonio. It was Brother Tim and I. We were walking there down by the river, the river walk, just kind of starting on it. And here was a woman. She was just kind of sitting there. Anyway, she was somewhat older and whatever all. We just start talking to her. And I imagine we gave her a track and whatever all. But anyway, it was something because, you know, she said, you know, I can tell you're different. She said, I can see peace on your face. And, you know, it was so dear. I mean, that was really nice. And you know, I'm not quite sure just all that we said to her, but I hope that she found the Prince of Peace. I hope that she was able to get to that place where she, too, could know the one who gives us that peace. Oh, praise the Lord, the peace that the world doesn't give, that peace that passes all understanding. And then verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Praise the Lord. Yes, you know, it's learning, oh yes, to let go of all those negative things that bind us up and, you know, get our mind going in the wrong direction. Oh, yes, the need is to meditate upon the things of God. And oh, to let the good things, the psalms, the praises, the worship, all of those things, oh, the thanksgiving that wells up into our hearts, you know, unto God. Oh, praise the Lord. Think on those wonderful things, the precepts that are set in His Word. Those things that are true, that honest, you don't think that you can question, those things that are settled, those things, oh yes, that are just and pure, oh yes, the things that are found in God's Word, lovely and of good report. Oh, praise the Lord. Here we're told, there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it might mean reformatting our mind in such a way so that we learn to just let go of all those contrariness things, all those negative things, those things that want to go over and over in our mind and, you know, just, get us thinking in that realm for, you know, minutes and maybe hours, God only knows, that record that goes around and around and around and keeps on replaying. But praise the Lord, we can learn to let go of that. Oh yes, in order to gird up the loins of our mind. Oh yes, oh, to be free from all, you know, these trivias and all the confusion and all the things that would get us off course. It says in verse 9 here, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Oh, praise the Lord. It must be that Paul was a wonderful example. Praise the Lord that he could write this. And then he went on to say in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in response, and not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And what a lesson that is. Oh, yes. You know, Paul, well, he goes on to say, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He knew both sides. He knew what it was like, oh, yes, to you know, have needs, to have wants, to, you know, to be hungry. You know, he says abased here, which even means humiliated. And yet he knew, on the other hand, how it was, yes, to abound, oh, to have plentiful, to overflow with the good things. But, you know, he had learned, whatever the circumstances is, I want to be content. You know, I've learned. He said he learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. To not always be looking on the other side and, you know, thinking, oh, I just wish I could be there. I wish I could live in another state or another country or, you know, in some other condition or, you know, all the things that people sometimes look for. And then, oh, yes. He says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, just learning to realize that we serve the Almighty One. Oh, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's nothing too hard for Him. Oh, praise the Lord. I've said this before, but I believe if He gave us an assignment, He's going to give us the ability to do it. Amen? I believe that, you know, and He makes a way that we can do things that, you know, ordinarily we couldn't even do, because He gives us a strength that only comes through Him. And oh yes, when we turn everything over to Him, He knows how to help us in ways that we never imagined, how to give us a strength that we would not have without the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Sometimes it's a hard road, you know. People get sick, people die. Oh my, you know, we might, you know, fall and break our ankle and be laid up. And, you know, oh, circumstances are not always what we want, what we desire. But praise the Lord, Paul learned to be content in whatever state he was in, knowing how to be abased and how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But praise the Lord, learning, oh yes, the Lord knows how to help us. Oh, no matter what the need is, no matter what our circumstances in, oh, no matter what the negatives may seem, oh yes, if we could learn to give the Lord the glory and the praise that is so due his great and wonderful name. Oh, praise the Lord, if we could just learn to turn everything over to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, I just was thinking right now, that portion of scripture there in the book of Acts. Oh, yes, when Paul and Silas were put into prison, in the inner prison there. Oh, their feet were fast in the stocks. Oh, they had been whipped, and it wasn't, you know, because they had done wrong. Oh, they had been working for the Lord and doing his will. And then, you know, oh, my. Paul had, you know, he had commanded the devil to leave this woman who had the spirit of divination. And oh boy, seemed like all hell broke out after that because, oh, people were upset because she could no longer foretell their certain things. But, oh, praise the Lord, they found themselves cast into prison. Their feet to fast in the stocks, and even in the inner prison. But what did Paul and Silas do? It tells us here in this 16th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Oh, praise the Lord. They did fall into great despair, despondency, a depression. They didn't do that. They didn't say, woe is me, and think about how bad their back hurt. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Oh, praise the Lord heard them in their affliction, in their pain. He heard them there at midnight. Oh my, it was a time for misery, it would seem. Oh, in the normal sense, but instead they did give way to that misery, that kind of thinking. Oh no, they yielded to God, and oh, they began to pray and sing praises unto God. Oh, praise the Lord, the prisoners heard them. It wasn't real quiet either, you know, so nobody could hear them. Oh, they just let it out. Praise the Lord, and God heard it. Praise the Lord, God sent an earthquake, a great earthquake. And the foundations of that prison were shaken. Praise the Lord, God reacted to their praises, to their worship. Oh, yes, he saw it. And oh my, he worked in a mighty way. What a sight that must have been. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And oh, we know that the keeper of the prison, he awakened out of his sleep, and he thought, oh no, now they've all left, and he was going to kill himself because, you know, if the prisoners escaped, then, you know, they were to kill him. But I like how Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Oh, God was going to work in a mighty way here. Oh, yes, he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Oh, yes, that keeper of the prison knew that this was beyond the norm. Oh, that this was an act of God. Oh, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And praise the Lord, they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And to all that were in the house, praise the Lord, he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Oh, praise the Lord. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Oh, how the Lord used this inopportune moment. Oh, yes, to change things. Oh, it was in reality a great opportunity. Oh, yes, to show forth the power of God, to praise God in the spite of the affliction and in spite of the need. Oh, my, they let go. They let the Lord do a work. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, this jailer came to the Lord and praise the Lord in all his house. Oh, yes, they were able to expound the word of God unto him. Oh, yes, in such a way, I'm sure they expounded all the need to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. He heard the glorious gospel. He gave heed to it. And that same hour of the night, after their stripes were washed, he was baptized, he and his household. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He was a changed man. Oh, praise God. Oh, there is nothing too hard for our God. Oh, if we'll just gird up the loins of our mind, if we'll just let the Lord work in us, oh, in a mighty way. Oh, yes, in a real way. Oh, yes, so that all the light of God shines through us. Oh, yes, so that we can reflect the goodness of the Lord in our life and in our living. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I do need to go to 2 Corinthians here for a few verses here. If we could turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start with verse 3 here. It says in verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And he explains, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Oh, praise the Lord. We don't, have to have, all this ammunition and all, these guns and whatever else to arm ourselves. Oh, we might be in a spiritual battle, but we don't fight it with carnal things. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Again, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But praise the Lord, God's given us something greater than that. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, praise the Lord, he's given his people authority to rebuke the devil and know that he will flee. Oh, praise the Lord, to rise above our circumstances and to live in victory. Praise the Lord, he's given us that ability, that saving name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, sometimes that's all you have time to do. The call of that name, and oh, how he changes, how he intervenes. Oh, yes. Oh, how mighty that name is. Oh, praise the Lord. I think we all have those moments, and that was all we could do. And oh, praise the Lord. I still remember that moment when my oldest daughter, Ruth, was just a little girl, just a toddler, and suddenly we were standing there on the front steps of our house, and all at once she stumbled and began to fall, and she rolled down those steps, those cement steps, my front of the house, and honestly, I didn't have time to grab her. All I could do was call Jesus. But oh, as it happened, it was like, she didn't land. It was like she didn't bump. She didn't hurt. She rolled down those steps and there was no harm. And all I could think is, the angels of the Lord were there to catch her. Oh, yes, she didn't have any injury in spite of what had happened. Oh, that mighty name of Jesus. Oh, yes, that strong and mighty tower that the righteous run into and are safe. But here tells us, verse 5, testing doubt imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, this is how we win this battle. This is how we gird up the loins of our mind. Oh, yes, we cast down those imaginations, those thoughts, those ideas, those emotions, those things that try to overwhelm us. We cast them down in the name of Jesus. We bring every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. If it isn't according to the word of God, down, down it goes. And then it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, that thought that tries to overwhelm us, to record in our mind. I'm going to cast it down. I'm going to bring it into captivity. I'm not going to let it do its dirty work and run all over me. Oh, praise the Lord, we can bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, this is how we win. Oh, this is how we walk with the Lord. This is how we gird up the loins of our mind. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful ability the Lord has given us. Praise the Lord. I do want to turn just a short little thing here, one or two, whatever. Lord, however He leads here. Isaiah 26. Here, if we could just go here for a moment. Oh, I love this portion of scripture. It says in the first verse, in that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Oh, I could say a lot. Praise the Lord, our refuge in the Lord. Oh, He's appointed salvation for walls and bulwarks. Protection from the enemy. And then verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Oh, the gates of salvation. Oh, that were opened up on the day of Pentecost so that we might enter in, so that we might be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Oh, praise the Lord. And then verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, praise the Lord. You want to know how to gird up the loins of your mind? Oh, yes, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we can overcome. We can be more than conquerors through Christ that strengtheneth us. Oh, praise the Lord. We learn to keep our mind stayed upon the Lord, upon his word, upon his ways. Oh, we can sing praises. We can make melody in our heart unto the Lord. But oh, yes, we gird up the loins of our mind by meditating upon the good things of God. Oh, yes, and by casting down the imaginations, all those high things that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the Lord has armed us with His Spirit, with His armor, so that, we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Praise the Lord, we can walk with Him. Praise the Lord, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Praise the Lord, because he trusteth in thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Are you trusting in the Lord? Oh, have you given your life over to the living God? Oh, are you trusting in his mercy and his grace? Oh, yes. Have you given the thoughts of your heart over to God? Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he learns how to disciple us. So we learn how to be discipled, how to yield our mind, our emotions, our will, our hearts over to the living God. Praise the Lord. And here's the promise. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Oh, praise the Lord. We can trust the Lord. We can trust in His promises. We can know that they are sure. Praise the Lord. We have a strong refuge in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He has won the victory. Praise the Lord. And He has victory for His people. Praise the Lord. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Praise the Lord. We gird up the loins of our mind. Praise the Lord. And we have victory over the things of the flesh. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that perfect peace that you give your people whose minds are stayed upon thee because they trust in thee. Oh, Lord, give us that mindset. Give us that ability. Give us that overcoming strength. Put it within us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Fill us mightily with all gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, overwhelm us with your Spirit. Oh, God, I pray that you would move. Oh, God, I pray that you'd move tonight. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. He's so good. Praise the Lord. Gird up the loins of your mind. Praise the Lord. Let the Lord do his work in your life. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our course books to number 77 and say, In the Name of Jesus. Number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come. His great name, Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come
victory.
Praise God. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.